All right, joining us now from Hotlanta, Drew Dunn from the East Lake Club, where they're hosting the East Lake Cup, a college event, an invitational. It's awesome. Welcome back into the show, Drew.
Hey, thanks for having me back on. I appreciate it. How you guys been?
Absolutely. It feels like we just talked to you. Now, how about a little post-mortem? Tell us how the tournament went.
Man, the Tour Championship could not have gone any better, you know, from our perspective. Just the whole week, the crowds, the weather, you know, who won, how we won, you know, in the playoff. It was as good as we could have hoped for, and it really cemented that the switching of the nines was the right thing to do with all the drama we had at the end there.
Yeah, now will you keep them switched, or are your members going to have to get used to the whole tournament 18 versus everyday 18?
No, we did. We made an announcement after the tournament that we are switching the nines permanently for our everyday play. It was a decision we took very serious. We surveyed our members and frequent guests out here, got everybody's opinions, did some historical research and things like that. So it wasn't something that we thought about lightly, but have made the decision to go ahead and keep it that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of clubs who decide to switch should go out and vet their membership afterward and see if they liked it, if they like the idea of it. For example, where we host the Symetra Classic here in Charlotte, where I'm the tournament director, we switch them. And, you know, we've never actually bothered to go to the membership and ask if we should keep it that way. But it's a great layout, and we did it just because of the way we wanted to build drama at the end and to have the tournament end literally in a better spot on our property. So, maybe it's time that we follow your lead and get a survey out there and maybe switch those nines.
Yeah, it was 90% or so we're positive for it, wanted to keep it that way. People wanted to play it how the tour does. And our membership, those are the people who are here the other 361 days when the tour's not here. They're the people that support us the most. So we want to do what makes them happy, and if that's what they wanted, then we were going to do it.
All right, well, before we turn our attention to the East Lake Cup, which I'm jacked about, how's the condition of your range? Have you fixed it yet after those guys were out there digging their way to China every day?
Yeah, we actually overseeded about 3 weeks ago, so it's fresh grass. It looks good, but you know we only have 30 guys here for that field.
That's true.
It doesn't get destroyed like another tour event where it's a full field.
Man, those full field events, they have got to spend weeks and months trying to figure that out. And I've seen some come in and roll out new sod.
I would imagine they probably have to. Yeah. I can't. I'm glad that's one good thing I've never thought about, that we only have 30 guys. So.
All right, so here we go. We're coming up on this great event, the East Lake Cup, where you guys have invited four men's teams and four women's teams from the NCAA. On the men's side, Illinois, Oregon, Texas, and Vanderbilt. On the women's side, Duke, Stanford, UCLA, and Washington to come to the East Lake Club, experience first-class golf, and really have sort of the ultimate, you know, Final Four face-off for men and women's golf in the NCAA. Where did this come from? Can I credit you with a great idea?
I'd love to take credit for it, but unfortunately it wasn't my great idea. It's a collaboration with us, being East Lake Golf Club, the Golf Channel, and East Lake Foundation. And really what it stemmed from was, you know, we saw an opportunity to grow interest in college golf because there's really a lack of televised golf other than the national championships. Other college sports, college football, obviously in the South down here is huge. College basketball is big everywhere. So it's really an opportunity to grow the interest in college golf. So we had the idea, why don't we invite the Final Four men's and women's teams from the previous year's national championships. So that's what we did last year. It was the first year we hosted it. It went really well. We invited the same teams back again. USC was the other top four team, but they had a prior commitment. So Vanderbilt was invited in place of them, and it's going to be an exciting week. We're really, really jacked about it.
Well, and when you look at it, I mean, it's not a made-for-TV event, but it has to be a boon for the Golf Channel to sort of say, hey, you know what? Our national championship coverage did way better than we thought it would. So mm-hmm. Let's see how this goes. And I think we are thirsty for it, but it needs a format. You can't go out and try to televise 4 days of college golf. It's just difficult. It's in the what would be considered the fall season or whatever. How did this let us understand how this format came together. Why the four teams and how are they going to play this tournament?
The four teams, just because it's the top four, like I said, from last year's national championships. If you watch that on TV, which I did, It was exciting. I couldn't turn the TV off. I was glued to it every single night, especially the final day. And then the format came about. So last year we just had stroke play. It was a two-day competition, or excuse me, match play, two-day competition where their rankings were based on how they finished in the previous year's national championship. This year, we've added a third day of competition. So the first day is going to be stroke play. Individual champions will be crowned for men and women, but that will also determine the seeding for the match play for the final 2 days. So one will play four, two will play three, both sides, men and women. And then the second day, we'll crown a champion for men's teams and women's team.
Well, now we've all discovered that in recent years the American golfer could use more match play. I mean, this year's Ryder Cup was great, but players from around the world seem to play a lot more match play opportunities than we do growing up and things like that. Is this the kind of thing that you look at a tournament like the Ryder Cup and say, okay, if we can get the same energy that they have or similar out of the players, not the galleries, but the players, we've had a home run?
For sure. I don't think you could recreate any of that energy between McIlroy and Patrick Reed. That was the best nine holes of golf, I've ever seen on TV when they were going back and forth, throwing blows at each other. But you do get that in match play, that excitement. It can switch so quickly. You think you're out of the hole, and then you hit a great shot, and suddenly the pressure's on the other guy. So that you're right that there's not a lot of that, especially on tour. There's only a couple of events that have match play in it, and it's an exciting format. And the kids, the college kids that are coming here, are used to playing a lot more match play, and they're good. These guys can make birdies and putts and eagles. These guys go right out on the tour and start winning these days. So just because they're not tour players, you're still going to see some incredible golf.
Yeah, now we're talking to Drew Dunn from down at the East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta, host of the East Lake Cup for the NCAA Invitational, where the top four men's teams, top four women's teams from last year are going to face off this weekend. And I'm curious, I'm looking at your scorecard and I'm looking at your tournament scorecard from your PGA events. How differently will the course play from what maybe we saw during the FedEx Cup?
They're going to play it how our members and guests play it. So for the Tour Championship, number 1 and number 14 are converted par 5s to par 4s, which actually played as two of our most difficult holes during the Tour Championship. These guys are going to play them as par 5s. So you're going to see those holes actually yield more birdies than they did during the Tour Championship. I think the stroke average on those holes was about 4.3, which is over par. But for this tournament, 4.3 would be, average under par. So it's going to play longer, too. They tip this golf course out. So for the Tour Championship, on those two holes, those guys, they play up quite a few yards. So these college kids are going to play the golf course, for the men at least, will play it longer than it plays during the Tour Championship. So the pin locations probably are not going to be as difficult because the golf course is playing longer and it's match play. You want to see birdies. You want to see excitement. So the pins will probably be in a few easier spots than you would normally see during a Tour Championship. But scoring should be, like I said, a lot of birdies, and it'll be exciting.
So how did you go about getting your everyday players to understand the value of hosting two events so close together and giving up their course?
It's difficult. Obviously, our members want to play the golf course, but everybody that's here is here to support the East Lake Foundation. Hopefully, everybody knows the story of East Lake, how it used to be such a bad area. Tom Cousins came in, purchased the club, renovated it to help Bobby Jones was here, and now all of our profits and proceeds go to the East Lake Foundation, which has kind of revitalized this whole area and is now a national model. So when we get an event like this, it really supports what we're all about, and everybody here is on the same page, including our members, and they're gracious enough to allow us to do two events like this back-to-back where they're going to lose their golf course for a few days, but they're all on the same page as us.
Well, and speaking from some experience with the Symetra Tour and the Web.com Tours here in Charlotte, your members are going to play some of their best golf in the days following watching these kids play. The PGA game is not necessarily accessible to the average golfer. I mean, if I swing my club like Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson or Bubba Watson, I'm going to be in traction. But if I swing my club the way some of these young players do with that kind of control and tempo, I can become a better golfer. I hope your members come out and watch this, and I bet you'll see scores coming down in the days following the tournament.
Yeah, we're hoping so. And that's across, PGA Tour and collegiate. It was a great point. The tempo these kids have is just like the tempo of the tour players. When I watch them warm up on the range last year, it's like watching another tour championship. They have their routines, their practices. They understand, you know, how to swing. So you can learn just as much from these kids as you can from tour players.
Yeah, smooth is fast, and fast is bad. I mean, that's
right.
You know, I go out and I'll just sit there for an hour and watch the Symetra Tour players, and I'll look out there and I'll say, okay, she's 4'11", and she's about 90 pounds, maybe, and she is striping the thing 270.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not. And I'm 6'2", a former college football player, and I'm out there. I sweat and grunt. What? I think I must be doing something wrong.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I always tell people, the harder you swing, the harder it is to make consistent contact. So when you hit that golf ball in the middle of the club face, it's going to go much further than if you're swinging as hard as you can and you hit it out on the toe. So swinging smooth and swinging easy and having good tempo allows you to make consistent contact in the middle of the club face.
Yeah, what does that feel like?
The greatest thing is it doesn't feel like anything.
Right, it feels like the ball just got in the way. Right, yeah, I'm not used to that. There's usually a snapping sound and then a snapping hook and then a snapping tree branch.
I don't believe that.
So let me ask you this, and we're going to divert a little bit away from the tournament you guys are hosting and talk more about what you're facing on the course every day. You know, obviously teeing it forward, we're encouraging, I hope, players to play from the proper tees and things like that, and making sure that maybe people are, you know, more worried about a short third shot into the green than trying to take a 4-iron 210 and spray it someplace. What are you seeing from your everyday players and what they're asking for beyond just length? I mean, we all know chicks dig the long ball, but I think we'd all be better served to shave some strokes off our game.
Obviously, short game is what everybody needs to work on. Everybody's heard that a million times, but it's really true. And I really love what you said about teeing it forward. That is something we're promoting here at the club. You know, you still have to chip and putt and score well. And so when we've encouraged people to move up a tee box, it's funny that their scores don't really get any lower, you know, and they were a little hesitant to do it and move up and play, but their scores are about the same. So the biggest thing you can work on is chipping and putting. And with chipping, most average golfers are going to miss a lot of greens. And so you're going to have a lot of chips and opportunities to get up and down. So club selection is key when you're chipping. And the goal I always tell all my students is you want to get the ball on the ground as soon as possible and rolling just like a putt. So just an easy, without being out on the lesson tee to teach
right.
somebody, that's what I would tell them is take a club with less loft and get the ball rolling like a putt as soon as you can. You'll get up and down more often than you're doing now.
So are you a when you can putt guy? I mean, on the call or whatever, if you can putt it, go ahead and putt it.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you can putt it. If you're a pretty good short game player, and for some of your better players, I personally prefer to chip if I'm close to the green, but for most people, yeah, putting is better than chipping.
All right, Drew, well, thank you again for joining us. We're excited about this event. We'll be checking it out on the Golf Channel, and maybe we'll even send some people down to Atlanta to watch in person.
Hey, thanks for having me on. It was great to be back. And if anybody does want to come, it's free to come to the event. You just need to go to the website, which is eastlakecup.golfchannel.com, and just print out a free ticket, and then you get entrance into any day. You can come all 3 days if you want.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Drew. We'll talk to you soon.